Sabbath saying we left off last week, but the truth is it's been a couple of weeks, and I'm trying to recap exactly where we're up to. So I think the best possibility we have is we were talking about some of the dinim being chotzer to pri atuma. If a person is in the same oel as a mace, under the same roof as a mace, so the Torah says he becomes tamei mace as well, which of course becomes a problem for a kohen. So, nevertheless, the halacha tells us that if a person, let's say, is in an oel with a mace, but he is surrounded by another oel, so there's what's called an oel hamafsik. So, whenever you have a halachic oel that's separating between you and the mace, so that's considered to be that's going to save you from tumor spreading. So, one of the primary examples that let's put into practice today is, let's say there would be a mace in an adjacent room, and the door would be closed. So, in theory, if the door is closed, that should stop all the tumor. Because the door is closed, there's no opening, there's no what we call a pasach tefach, so there's no area space, there's no open space of a tefach for the tumor to spread, so presumably that would be okay. So the door would be a good example of a dover hamafsik b'fnei atuma. The problem with the door is that there are some poskim who say that the Mishnah tells us that in order for something to be mafsik b'fnei atuma, it has to be something that itself is not makabel tuma. So if something is makabel tuma, so by definition it can't separate, it can't serve as a barrier b'fnei atuma. The question is the door makabel tuma? Why should a door be makabel tuma? The door is a piece of wood, a slab of wood is not makabel tuma, but the metal hinges are potentially makabel tuma. If the metal hinges are makabel tuma, so maybe the whole door is makabel tuma. So that's what the Shach says, and that's not true. The reason why the metal hinges are not makabel tuma is because they were nasu l'shamish esakarka, since they were made for the purposes of serving structure, the part of the ground, the part of the building. So buildings, by definition, karka, b'chula karka is not makabel tuma, only kelim are makabel tuma. Anything that was made l'shamish esakarka automatically is not makabel tuma. So therefore the Shach says, if you have a door, so it's connected to the ground, it's built into the structure, even though it's being held up by metal, that doesn't matter, the whole door is ain't makabel tuma, and therefore it can serve as a break for that tuma. The next most common example of trying to be mafsik b'fnei atuma is what if a person's in a car. So a person, a kohen, is driving, and he's driving through a cemetery. Or he's driving next to a cemetery where there are branches, a tree hanging over, can be an oel. A very, very common child, so a kohen is driving on Main Street, at Kugan Hills. So he's driving down the street, and right next to where he is a cemetery. It's a Jewish cemetery, which makes matters even more serious. Now there are branches or trees that overhang over the car and over the cemetery. So should we say that's tantamount to being in an oel hamace? Well, you have other scenarios where a kohen is driving in a place where he's either there's a mace under the same trees, or there's a hearse under the same tunnel, under the same bridge or something. So is that considered to be a davar mafsik? Can the car be mafsik if you had to run out?
No, I have a son-in-law who's a kohen, and he told me when I take his son, my grandson, I should not go on the lower level.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about whether that chumrah is true or not. I may save you some, well, it depends. Usually the lower level is better anyway, depending, unless you want to get carpooled in the morning. It's complicated. So we'll get to that chumrah in a minute. So what's the din? Is the car a davar mafsik b'fnei atuma or not? So here we have to deal with a whole different aspect of davar mafsik, because there's a gemara, actually it's coming up in Daf Yomi very soon, about can something be mafsik b'fnei atuma if it's something that moves? That's what's called an oel zoruk. So an oel zoruk literally means a thrown oel. Can an oel zoruk be mafsik or an oel zoruk not be mafsik? So this machlek is a tanoim, where the oel zoruk is chotzik b'fnei atuma, or whether an oel zoruk, something that moves, by definition, cannot be mafsik b'fnei atuma. So Tosfos points out that there are different gradations, there are different levels of what constitutes an oel zoruk. Tosfos shows you from Mishnayos and Maseches Olos that the ultimate oel zoruk is something that mamash flies in the air, something that literally picks up and flies in the air. So that for sure cannot be served as a davar hamafsik. So Tosfos quotes your Mishnah that says if you have a talus that was lifted up in the air, it's flying in the air, and there's a mace under you, and you're on top of the talus, and vice versa, whatever it is, so that's not going to serve as an oel. Something which is mamash flying on its own, that's for sure not considered to be a davar hamafsik. So Tosfos says, so what was the machlekes at Tanoim about? Tosfos argues that the machlekes at Tanoim was about not that something is in midair, but rather something is just being carried. So let's say the classic example, a person is put inside a box, and I'm carrying the person inside a box in a cemetery. So does that person become tummy or not? So that's the machlekes ha-tanoim. That's what Tosfos says. That's the shaila about oel zoruk. According to one Tana, since it's moving, it cannot serve as a davar chaytzeitz. And according to the other Tana, it can. Batzes does is if you would pick that box up and throw it to the air like a plane, that's for sure called an Ol Zorek. That's not a shot on that. Everybody agrees we're not serving as a Davar Chatzitza. The only time some Tanoim hold maybe it would be, that's only if at least it's not literally in midair, it's being carried by somebody who's walking on the ground. But that does not going to help us very much because we pask in Malacha that Ol Zorek is Lav Shpei Oil. So according to Tosfos, it comes out that neither one of those cases is going to be a good Ol Mafsik. Neither the plane, because that's going to everybody, not a Davar Mafsik, nor the car. The car is the equivalent of the person who's walking on the ground. It's not up in the midair. Depends how fast you're driving, but hopefully if the tires are on the ground. So that's not considered to be an Ol, where we pass in Malacha. So the Mishnah Melech says, no, the Mishnah Melech says that according to Tosfos, there's one other gradation, there's one other level of Ol Zaruk, and that's as follows. The case that Tosfos was discussing is that I'm walking on the ground and I'm carrying a box and there's a person inside that box, will that person become Tamei or not? But what if the box itself is on the ground? What if somebody just put the box on wheels, just push the box, drag the box along the ground, even though the box is moving, but it's almost like Mechub LeKarek, it's connected to the ground. I mean, not literally connected, but it's touching the ground. So the Mishnah Melech argues that in that scenario, everybody will agree that it's not considered to be an Ol Zaruk. And therefore it would be a mafsik.
So,
we're going to see that. So we started by learning this sugya, and we saw, is Ol Zorach called an Ol, is it not called an Ol? Can it be mafsik, can it not be mafsik? We thought it was machlekes atanoim. So once we're done with the sugya, between Tais and the Mishnah Melech, we realized that there are different levels, different diagrams of Ol Zorach. Not Ol Zorach, all Ol Zorachs are created equal. The Ol Zorach that's flying in the air, that's for sure no good. The Ol, quote-unquote, Ol Zorach that's on the ground, mamish, just rolling along on the ground, that's for sure good. The Homach Lekas HaTanoi, which we pass in the Chumra, is an Ol that's being carried, but not flying. It's off the ground, but it's not literally in the air. According to that Mishnah Melech, that would be a tremendous kula in terms of cars, because then it would come out that a car would not qualify as an Ol Zorach. A car would qualify as a good Ol, as an acceptable, as a valid Davar Mafsik. So there are two problems with applying this Mishnah Melech. First of all, most of the poskim don't accept this Mishnah Melech. Most Achronim say that chiluk of Mishnah Melech is almost arbitrary. That chiluk doesn't appear in the Gemara. The chiluk doesn't appear in Tosfos. So many of the poskim say that even the case where the Ol itself is on the ground, but Tachas is moving, Tachas is on wheels, Tachas is being pushed. So that still qualifies as an Ol Zorach, and therefore it would not be Chaitzitz, it would not be Masim Fir Tuma. That's issue number one. Issue number two is, we have to throw back to what we spoke about before. Even if something is a stationary oil, even if something qualifies as potentially being Mafsik, it has to be made of a material that's Eina Makabal Tuma. Anything that's Makabal Tuma, by default, is never Mafsik. So even if something is not stationary, if it's Makabal Tuma, it's not a Dover Mafsik. The only reason why the doors in a house were Mafsik was because it's not the shamish as a karka, because it was part of a physical, of a building, of a structure. But anything that's metal, and anything that moves, so if it's made out of materials, out of a kabel tuma, that's automatically a red flag. For sure, it's not going to be mafsik. So in order to be mafsik, that's the number one, not be an oil zoruk, whatever that means, whatever your definition is, and number two, it has to be made out of appropriate materials. What are the appropriate materials and what are not the appropriate materials? So the Torah tells us exactly what types of materials are makabal tuma, exactly which types are not makabal tuma. Let's say klicheres, so earthenware is makabal tuma, wood is makabal tuma. Another important example for us is klimateches is makabal tuma, metal is makabal tuma. So anything that's made out of metal, unless it's mamsh mechubal karka, by default is never going to be able to be mafsik because it's automatically, it's davar makabal tuma, can't be mafsik b'fnei tuma. So the question is a car meet those criteria or not? Is a car made out of metal? The answer is, well, yes. Well, maybe no, depending on how you define metal. So there's a big machlekes haposkim. What exactly is the halachic definition of metal in the Torah? Strange question. We all took chemistry, 10th grade, remember the metals? One column of the periodic table. It still exists, the periodic table? Still around? Okay, so I remember when I took high school chemistry, so we spent the whole year learning about the electrons, and then at the end of it, like the last day, so the teacher told us that the electron rings don't really exist. That was just like a model, you know, to make it easy for kids. But there's really waves and everything. So now I wonder what the electrons have been doing recently. I don't know. So it was a little bit of a letdown. Here we spent the whole year learning about the rings. I thought that everything was, so meanwhile, my kids are taking chemistry. So I don't know. Now it's a whole new world. I don't understand. I can't even read the first page of the chemistry books now. So things have developed over the years. My kids always make fun of me. That when I in chemistry, there weren't even electrons yet. Didn't even know there were atoms yet. I'm not that old. But anyway, so we thought that we know what a metal is. And when the first day of chemistry, a metal is It has certain properties, characteristics. It's malleable. It conducts. Conducts heat. It's a certain column in the periodic table. So we thought we were pretty sure what metals were. So comes some poskim and say, no, that's not the definition of metals. That's the modern definition of metals. Maybe not the Torah definition of metals. What's a metal in the Torah? The Torah gives six examples of metals. Ach as a zov, yes a kosef, as a choshes, as a barzo, b'dil v'yofaris. The Torah in Parshas Matos, the Dinim of Tumas Kalim, spells out six different types of metals. Gold, silver, copper, lead, whatever. See, the six metals are Amur b'Torah. So comes Sabach Renim and write, Ein l'chol v'ol chedushay. Hukhas Tumu b'Torah is not something that you say svarz in. It's not something that you say science in. That's what it is. The Torah said, these six metals of Makabal Tumu, that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, it's true the Torah wouldn't have given us other metals because the metals weren't even known to people, but he has kashas up. The Rav Shlomo knew what they were, and the Rav Shlomo only said these six metals, that's it, Atam v'lo Yosef. So some Achronim write that only six metals of Makabal Tumah, nothing else. Another Achronim said, no, six metals are examples. Anything that's similar to the six metals would also be Makabal Tumah. So even though it wasn't known in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's still a full-fledged Dabra Makabal Tumah. This machloek actually has a nafkamina outside of Tumah V'Tahara, has a nafkamina for Tfilas Kalim also. The Gemara says that you have to do Tfilas Kalim also based on this pasuk. Zav Kesem and Choshes. Then the Torah speaks about if you get these Kalim from Goyim, you have to be Matar, then you have to bring them to the mikvah. So what's the din? Does this mitzvah of Tfilas Kalim apply to other metals besides these six? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuva that he thinks Minatora now. He thinks that Minatora, you only have to Tfilas Kalim with the Kesem, Zav, the Choshes, etc. Many of our kelim are that. Many of our kelim are, most of our kelim are not gold. Many of our kelim are barzel. Barzel is iron. Iron is steel. It's the same thing. Steel is just means it's heated up iron. So the any kli that's made out of steel, steel pots, whatever it is, anything that's made out of steel, would be obligated in tefillas kelim in HaTorah. But anything that was made out of other kinds of metals, aluminum, things like that, so Moshe argues, would not be chayv in tefillas kelim in HaTorah. It would still be chayv in the Rabbanon, because it's not going to be any better than glass. The Gemara says that glass is also pashas, not chayv in HaTorah, but glass was instituted in the Rabbanon because it's like metal in the sense of when glass breaks, you can remold it. Other things, when you have cheres, when you have pottery, earthenware, when you break it, mold the pieces, it's garbage. But when you have a piece of glass, the glass can be remolded, reshaped. So the Gemara says, therefore, in the Rabbanon, it looks a little bit like metal. So they threw on the mitzvah Tfilas Kalim on glass. So Rabbi Moshe writes that the same way they were mechayev glass in Tfilas Kalim, there were mechayev other kinds of metals as well in Tfilas Kalim. But Min HaTorah doesn't think that other Kalim besides the six metals would be chayev in HaTorah. It doesn't make much of a difference for us. We're terrible glass anyway, we're terrible other metals anyway, we're terrible steel anyway. We make a bracha. Some people think you don't make a bracha on glass. That's a mistake. Fine, you make a bracha on glass. If it's chayev in Tfilas Kalim, either Min HaTorah or Min HaRabbanan, you have to terrible it. So this shaila is a running shaila, not just for Tfilas Kalim, it's a running shaila for Chustumus Meis as well. Can a davar, can something which is made of other metals, can it be mafsik b'fnei HaTumah? So if you hold that other metals are makabel tumah, then it can't be mafsik. If you hold that other metals are, if you hold that is makabel tumah, then it can't be mafsik. If you hold it's not makabel tumah, then it can be mafsik. So what are cars made of? Are cars made of the six metals? They're not made of six metals. So the answer is, well, part of it is and part of it is not. When we were learning the sugya years ago, so somebody printed me out a whole article about cars. I think that the body of the car is made of, I don't know, I think it's made of steel. So the body of the car is made of steel. That's a davar ha-makabal tumah. That would be a problem. But I think the outer part of the car may be aluminum or something. Maybe other things that are added on also. So you got to go.
More
plastic. That's good. Plastic is good for us.
Yeah.
Right. Plastic would be helpful because plastic is not makabal tumah according to anybody. So I don't know, you got to really go to the car manufacturers and figure out whether it's a davar makabal tumah or not. The only problem is that, according to most poskim, it's probably not going to make much of a difference. Because even if it's by luck, it's made out of something that's not makabal tumah, but it's still an ol zorik issue. Unless you accept that Mishnah Melas Chiddush, that anything that's on wheels on the ground is not an ol zorik, so then you're still in trouble. So in order for a car to be a davar mafsik b'fnei HaTumah, two things have to be true. Number one, it has to be not an ol zorik, so you have to fall back on the Mishnah Melech. And number two, it has to be something that's made of material. There's enough material in there that can be masik b'fnei HaTumah, material that's not subject to tumah. So neither of those statements may be true. So therefore, I think we should assume the halach, like most of the poskim assume, that cars are a problem. That just because a person's in a car, that in of itself does not solve the problem. There are some who are making, it's Eliezdik one, who's making a car. Most poskim, I think today, are machmer in cars for a variety of reasons. Either it's an old Zorik problem, or it's a Davar Makabal Tumah problem, or maybe it's kind of both. The only way for it to be mutter is you have to be okay in both of those issues, which are, each one of them is questionable. So we assume halacha that a kohen should not drive into a cemetery, even if all the windows, all the doors, everything's closed. A kohen should not be driving in a cemetery. For that matter, a kohen should not be driving adjacent to a cemetery. If it's a non-Jewish cemetery, we'll see. That may be a little bit more lenient, but if it's a Jewish cemetery, so I would tell a kohen for sure not to. So a kohen should not be driving on Main Street. You gotta go to Kugan Hills, you gotta go around. You can't go down Main Street. If you're going, those who know Kugan Hills, so if you're coming back, let's say you're coming from the Jewel Avenue Main, you're coming from Truman's Pizza, you're going from the food part of Main Street, let's say if you want to go back to the LIE, so you can go, you want to go along Carlson Gabby's, those who know the landmarks there, so you can go, I think, on that side of the street, you can go back to the LIE, because I don't think that the trees extend all the way over the cemetery, all the way over the road. But if you want to go the other way, if you want to come from the LIE and go down Main Street towards Jewel Avenue, so then you're driving mamish right next to the cemetery. So I think that those branches do protrude over the cemetery. And I don't think we should be making, it's a Jewish cemetery for sure, and I don't think we should be making to treat the cars at the Ramafsik. So it's something that people should be aware of. You have it by, there are other landmarks in the city also. You have it by Goyisha cemeteries, which we'll talk about a little bit later, a little bit more Mayfield maybe. But you have also some famous ones. When you in Brooklyn, when you get off the prospect by McDonald Avenue, you want to make that right on McDonald to go towards Borough Park. So there's also the cemetery, but that's a Goyish cemetery. It's a little bit more lenient. Those who know Lake Como around Rosh Hashanah. So when you go into Hancock, New York, so you're going into the big town, big metropolis of three people in Hancock. So one of the ways of going, there's a Goyish cemetery that also protrudes over. So remember the Kohanim to be machmir to go the other way. So again, by Jewish cemetery for sure, one should be machmir. By Goyish cemetery, probably better to be machmir also, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
The problem is the tree is overhanging, so that connects you to the cemetery.
And they're also overhanging the grave.
The tree is more than X, how much away from the grave?
No, it doesn't matter. No, but the bottom line is that part of the tree is usually overhanging over the grave, and part of it's overhanging over you.
If
the tree would not be overhanging over the grave at all, then it would be totally fine.
The trees in the cemetery,
yeah, cemetery.
Right.
A Kohen in theory could go to a cemetery. A Kohen could walk into a cemetery provided there are no graves anywhere near there. That would be, and provided there are no graves and there are no trees, that would be okay. There's not an Isser, so to speak, to go into a cemetery. The Isser is to become Tamei Tumas Meis, which would, most of the time, it's a very bad idea for a Kohen to go into a cemetery because very often there are trees around.
Part of the tree has to overhang your grave.
Right.
For that tree to
right.
overhang the
right.
other side.
Right, but it usually is. Usually those particular ones, I think, really are. I think I was just in Main Street the other day. I'll look again next time. But I think that there are a problem. Like, Dr. Al, you drive to Queens a lot. So you go down Main Street sometimes?
Yeah.
So you know where the cemetery, the big cemetery is? And the other side, yeah. So best of my knowledge, those trees overhang over at least half of the street. I think half of the road, I think so. Okay, I'll take a look now. I was just there the other day.
So then my comment before about going on the lower level of going across the bridge, it is a problem.
Well, assuming there's a mace there.
But that's the whole point, because a lot of times, especially when Hirsch and
Sullivan... Right, right, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're going to get to that. We have a little while to get to
that. Would that be an OHEL, Tolkien OHEL? Like if in Hirsch we have a casket... Isn't that an ohel by itself?
Right, but the problem is that the Aron, the Gemara says that if there's a pesach tefach, if there's a tefach between the top of the mace and the top of the Aron, the mina Torah, the Aron could be a davra mafzik.
Right.
But mid the rabbanon, since very often it's not that way, so mid the rabbanon they made a gezeira across the board that Aron is never a davra mafzik, even though it should have been according to the basic rules it should have been, but it's not going to be because there's often not going to be enough to be mafzik. There's another famous shaila about a davra mafsik. That's in terms of planes. Can a plane serve as a davra mafsik? So planes are even worse than cars, because planes were the worst case of an ozar. Remember, that was the case of Tosis. Tosis said that if it's a davra which is nizrak in the middle of the air, so that's for sure an ozar. That's why those who learn the Gemara is about Ol Zorak, so you get a little bit of a chuckle. The Gemara talks about you put a guy into a box, and you toss him over the box, toss him in the box over the cemetery. So the guy's going to think, why Chazal talk about such silly things? Sticking a guy in a box, picking him up, tossing him over 20 feet. Didn't Chazal have anything better to talk about? So the answer is Chazal. He said, Ruach HaKodesh, that someday they realize the Wright brothers are going to do exactly that. But said, what plane is? Pick a guy up, put him inside, lock him up, and throw him for good luck. Somebody said, if you think about what a plane is, it's an oversized tuna fish can that you put your life in, and it's 26,000 miles. That's exactly what's going on. So the Gemara talked about it, even on the days the Gemara probably wasn't all that common of putting people in boxes and throwing them over cemeteries, but that has become much more common. So what would the din be today? If a plane's in a plane, the plane is flying over a cemetery. Okay, I'm not telling you should jump out at the time, but should he go on the plane in the first place? So this was a big issue. Those remember a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael, this was a big issue that many of the planes, when they would land in the airport, they would fly over certain cemeteries. You know, Cholona, there was a whole fight a couple of years ago in Eretz Yisrael that they wanted to reroute some of the planes that were flying over cemeteries. So many of the Rabbanim were very upset about it because according to what we said, that would be a big problem. It's a big problem for all Zarek. Even if a plane is primarily aluminum, but that could still be still going to be a problem because an Al-Zarek, this is the worst kind of an Al-Zarek. This for sure would not be a Dover Mavsik. So is there any heter whatsoever for a person to fly over cemeteries? So maybe one could argue that if you can follow this Chumrah, not to fly in a plane over a cemetery, in England of a safe, a guy flies around the world, so maybe by default somewhere along the way he's going to be flying over a cemetery. So do we have to be concerned with that? So years ago, they dedicated the kollel in NYU. It's called the Marcus Katz Kollel. So Mr. Katz is a Kohen. He lived in he still lives in Mexico City. So he came in for the day and they had a whole Yom Iyun of all kind of sugyas that related to Kohanim. Remember at the time, Rabbi Yonason Sachs was one of the members of the Kol at the time. It goes back a long time. So he gave a shia about something related to Kahuna. Everyone gave a shia. Everyone gave a shia about something related to a Kahuna. So some of the highlights of the shia was that the Bubba of a Rosh Hashiva came, because apparently Mr. Katz used to give money to Bubba also. So it was one of those moments in YU, and the Bubba of Rosh Hashiva was giving a shia in the YU Kollel in Yiddish. I don't think anyone understood what he was saying, but it was one of those, memorable moments. So one of the other memorable moments was that Rabbi Shechter gave a shia about this very topic, about whether a Kohen is permitted to fly over a cemetery. So it was a little humorous because Mr. Katz had just flown in from Mexico to give a lot of money to the Kollel, and I think he was planning on flying back that day. So Rishetta spoke about the different kulas, why it's mutter for him to fly over a cemetery. So remember, two of the things that Rishetta was Ma'ora was, is that maybe when the Kohen is flying, he's so high up that that's not considered to be a problem. Why is it not a problem? So the Mishnah uses the phrase, Yatuma is Bokas Adler Rakia. And whenever you have a Dover Tame, so the Tuma shoots all the way up, if you're flying over, if you're Tuma on the ground and you're 20 feet above the Tuma and you're leaning over, so the Tuma shoots up and you become Tame, the Tuma is Ola Adler Rakia and it's Yored Adler Tahom. If you have a mace, let's say, on top of the ground and you're on the ground or something, so the Tuma shoots down also. So the Tuma goes up and the Tuma goes down. So it's Ola Adler Rakia, it's Yored Adler Tahom. So what does that mean, it's Yored Adler Tahom? It means it goes to the entire globe. Let's say there's a Dover Tame in China. So I'm opposite that Dover Tame in America. So I become Tame. So obviously that's absurd. Obviously there has to be a certain point where you reach, which is the end of the Tome. The world is round, so there has to be a certain point where it ends. I don't know where the end is, the center of the earth. I don't know. I gotta read, who's the guy who wrote that book? Journey. Okay, so it's gotta be maybe to some point where it ends. So what about the Rakia? At what point is considered to be the end of the Rakia? So Rabbi Shechter thought that maybe you could argue that if a person is flying above the clouds, maybe that's called Lamalam and Rakia. Maybe that's the end of the Rakia. That's the Gemara speaks about different heavens. There's the Zvul and the Machon, and there's seven different heavens. So we don't know too much. I don't know too much about where those heavens are. But maybe, halachically, once a person is so high up, he's above the clouds already, maybe that's already too high. Maybe that's not considered to be a tuba to shoot up. So that's a chiddush. Doesn't really say that in the earlier sources, and that may not help for some of the landings in Eretz Yisrael, because they used to probably, when they were already in the process of landing, they were descending, so maybe they weren't even above the clouds yet. So that may not help us. And then there was another suggestion that he made, that there is a big discussion about the isser of a kohen becoming tamei. Is that really an isser becoming tamei, or is that a din that a kohen is not allowed to come into contact with a mace? Now, 99.9% of the time, those two things are identical. When you come into contact with a mace, you become tummy. You become tummy when you come into contact with a mace. It's hard to split between the two. But every once in a while, you have a situation where I could say I became tummy, but to say that I came into contact with a mace, it's so far away. I'm up 30,000 feet up in the air, and it's true, technically speaking, the tumor shoots up, but to say that's called a nefesh mace lo yovo, that's called I was bought with all a mace. I came, I touched the mace. How can you connect? I can't connect with a mes. So there are some rise for that idea that maybe the dinim of tumas kohanim are not so much a function of tuma, but more of a function of bil oil a mes. So it's so far removed. Maybe that's not considered to be a problem. So that's a whole lumdus shashayla about the relationship between tumas mes and the isefer kohen to become tameh. So either one of those two svaras would work. We're not sure about either one, but either one is accepted la halacha. But the minhag seems to be that unless a kohen knows for certain that he's flying over a cemetery, we assume that most probably not going to be flying. And even if once in a year, it does fly over a cemetery, so we're not as concerned about that. I think they must have switched the flight there. So I haven't heard about that issue in a while. I think that was the case where the guy was. Remember there was a famous picture of a guy who was walking around and he put himself into a plastic box or something on the plane? Plastic bag or something. Yeah, the guy was walking around in a plastic bag. I don't know if that did anything, I'm not sure. But he wrapped himself up in a plastic bag to protect himself from the tumors. Okay. I'm not sure what the story there was. Anyway. Oh, so that's significantly worse. If the Aron is on the plane, so that should sure be a problem. So Moshe writes in the Tshuva that Ol Zorok is not considered to be an Ol, to be Mafsik of Yatuba, but if you're in the same oil, if your mom's in the same kli, if you're being tossed around the same box as the base, so for sure you become tamid. So we assume la halacha that if there's an aron on the plane, so that's a problem. So a kohen should not be on such a plane.
You consider a different room because it's, the aron is below.
Right? Right, but the problem is that it's all zoruk. The whole thing is all zoruk. So you can never have anything in dover mafsik. Anything on a plane can never be a mafsik. So a plane works against you, not for you. It works against you because it brings the tumah. It doesn't work for you because it can never separate between the tumah. So everything is one big all zoruk. So that's what we say, that a kohen should not fly on most Elal flights, because Elal. We'll see in a second. Allow Ruba the Ruba the time does have, allow flying to Ruba the Ruba the time does have a mace on it, unless there are certain flights that don't. So the best of my knowledge is that the flights from Newark don't have mace on them, because the Mendel, because Mendel's the Chevra, so they deal with the JFK. They're situated in Brooklyn, and they deal with the JFK flights. So the 130 Newark flight every day, so if Cohen wants to fly Allow, so he should only fly on that flight.
What does Cohen do when he goes to the hospital?
It's a difference. We'll find out about the hospitals in a second. So the Phineas Dighty, a coin should not be flying on a regular Allah flight. He should only be flying, if he wants to fly Allah, he should only fly the Newark flight. If he wants to fly other airlines, we're flying United, we're flying Delta. So the odds that there are mason, that once in a while there is a mason, those flights also. That is true. What usually happens is there'll be a mason on one of those flights if someone died outside of New York. So let's say someone's died in California and they're flying them to Eretz Yisrael, so very often they'll have the connecting flight. So then United, Delta, one of those airlines, will arrange to take the mace to Eretz Yisrael also. But those are not as common. If a person knows that exists, so that would be a problem. I'm not sure you have to go be mivare that. From the little that I've heard about this, I don't think that's as common. But if I'm a flight, what I was told is that the flights from JFK, you can be almost sure that there's a mace on the flight. So the coin should not be flying on those flights.
The concept of Ol Zorik is that the Ol is moving and the mace is stationary below. Here, they're both in the same place, so it's not really an Ol Zorik. At any moment in time...
Yeah, this is like Einstein. Moving. This is like Einstein's theory of relativity. Exactly. This classic Einstein relativity here.
Does that change?
Yeah, I don't think Einstein was a big guy, but I don't think his Shtickle Torah is going to help. E=mc². That's just not going to. No point. They're not going to fly over here for the mace. So that's, I think, what we assume. I know that was the policy the last couple of years for NCSY now. That usually the NCSY flights and the COEL always go from JFK. So we gave an option now for the Kohanim to fly from Newark. So it turns out better for us because of that. So slowly but surely we created another optional flight from Newark also. So now we get to fly from Newark also. So it's easier for us than to go from JFK. But the original psak was given for the Kohanim that they should all be on the Newark flight. The issue that you mentioned about the hospitals, so hospitals could potentially be a real problem of a real OL, assuming that there's actually somebody who's dead there. So the postman today assumed that unless you know somebody's dead right now, you could probably assume that there's no mace literally in the area where you're going to be. So the doors are probably closed off, the mace is in the morgue, things like that. So it's probably mutter for Cohen to go to a hospital for a very, very short amount of time if it's very important. So he has to go visit somebody. It's important. He shouldn't go there for a whole day unless he's the patient, he's the Pekuch Nefesh. But just to go for a few minutes for somebody that's important is most probably going to be permissible. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next part of Tumas Kohen. So up until now, we've been spending most of our time talking about Tumas Ohel. Again, Tumas Maga, Masa, it's not as common for a Kohen. 99% of the Shalas for Kohanim are issues of Tumas Ohel. But we said that if you close off the doors, so everything is great. So let's say there would be a mace in this room, so then anyone would be able to be over there, presumably, because the doors are all closed off. The problem is, the Mishnah tells us that's not so simple. The Mishnah says there's another principle, three words, that's called Sof Tumah Lotzeis. Sof Tumah Lotzeis means that if you have a mace, you have a Tumas mace in one room, but you know for a fact that mace is going out the door. The mace is not staying here forever, that mace is going to go out the door, so we view the other room as, in effect, being part of the Ola mace. So when do we say that closing the doors is going to work? That's if the mace is not being taken out that way. So let's say, for example, there would be a mace in that room. If you close the doors and I would be here, that would be fine. Because that mace is not coming into the shul. The mace is going out the front door. So since the mace is going out the front door, so as long as I've closed off the doors, the Tatum Kabbalatum with the hinges, the Chubal HaKark, the whole story, so that will solve the problem for the Kohen. But if it would be the other way around, the mace is in this room, so then the Kohen couldn't even be in the other room because it's self to Malotzeis, because eventually the mace has to come out of the building. You're not going to take him out the window unless you're planning on taking him. If you're really, truly planning on taking him out the window, then that room would not be self to Malotzeis. But unless you were really planning on doing that, so we're probably going to take the mace out the front door, that would be a problem, unless you're planning on taking the mace out the back door. But unless you planned appropriately, you would have to assume that the mace is going to go out this way, possibly. And that's called self to Malotzeis. That's a Mishnah, and the Sefs, all those. Where did this come from? What kind of halacha is this? So Rashi, in two different places, writes two different things. In one place, Rashi writes that this is halacha Moshe Mesinai, that even though it's not the oel, as the Torah says, Zos the Torah, Adam Kiyomas, but oel, it's not really the same oel. Hilchas Chatzitza, Hilchas Mafsik, declares that it's a separate oel. Self to Malotzeis kicks in as a new halacha Moshe Mesinai. So it's a, for sure the din is true, it's a Mishnah. Rashi claims in one place it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. Rashi, in another place, write something different. Rashi wrote different Perushman Shas. So sometimes there's a little contradictions in Rashi. At different times, Rashi thought different reasons. So it's possible that it's machlokes. It's possible it's 2 days in Rashi. And in another place, Rashi writes, no, that it's not a din derai. It's not a lachmasin. It's only a midirabanan. It's a din midirabanan that we're afraid that if you're going to let the Kohen be in the other room, next thing you know is they're going to open the door and bring the mace out. So, minat Torah, calls by the door is locked. You close the door. What does it say? It says, the doors will be locked whenever there's a mace in the room. So as long as there's a mace in the room, so midat Torah, it's okay. But mid the Rabbanon, if you let the Kohen be in the outer room, and we know it, at some point in the near future that mace is coming through, lest the Kohen be in the outer room at the time that the mace comes through. So that would only be a din mid the Rabbanon. It wouldn't make much of a difference for us, the Rice mid Rabbanon, it's still a problem. But again, conceptually it would be different.
If the door is mafsik, why isn't a floor mafsik?
A floor is mafsik, yeah, between the, if the mace is here and you're underneath, that would be the mafsik, if you're in the same level.
What's the problem with the plane?
No, because it can't be mafsik, it's all Zorah, because everything is moving.
What's the difference between a plane and this building?
This building's not going anywhere. This building's stationary, the plane is flying in the air. Unless you fall back on Dr. Greenspan's relativity, but we I see all the doctors, it must be the science minds in you that you can't view the world next to Einstein. Until Einstein, people didn't think like you.
Doesn't the current Shabbos, when it deals with throwing something has the whole idea of Koletas, that things stop every second?
That was only Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had his view of physics, was Klutik Mishun Chadamya. But I don't even think Rabbi Akiva would help for this. I don't think the two areas are analogous. And we happen not to follow Rabbi Akiva even there also. We Paskin that Klutik is Lach Mishun Chadamya. We don't view it as just everything stopping. I remember I once had somebody who was so excited about that machlokes of Kibbutz Rabbanan. He thought this was like the Yesodos of physics about motion and things stopping and starting. Again, my science in high school ended. I did so well in chemistry that I didn't bother making it to physics. So I don't have such a good understanding of physics. But it was nice. We don't pass the language.
Between the 2 days of Rashi, if you knew the mace was not going to leave for a certain amount of time.
Would you say that? Yeah. So we don't find. I mean, that should, in theory, be enough kamina. But lemaisa, we don't find that in the Gemara. Is that enough kamina? So there is a question that we showed whether this whole discussion we should really be having in terms of Tumas Kohanim. Because remember, we said earlier that not everything that's tamei mace is automatically us for a kohen to be. So we said a metal. A kohen's allowed to touch a metal kli that was in a cemetery, even though the kohen's becoming tamei. So not everything that's Tumas mace is automatically an iser. So there's one opinion that we showed him that said the whole sugya of self-tumah, let's say, doesn't apply to Tumas Kohanim. It's a din tumah, tumah v'tara, but nothing to do with a kohen. That would be an unbelievable kula. According to that, as long as you close the doors, the whole self-tumulatis wouldn't exist. So we don't pass like that at all. Shulchan Aruch, that opinion is not even quoted. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rif and the Rosh and all the Gedaliah Rishonim who quote all the dinim of self-tumulatis in the sukkahs of Tumas Kohanim. That's the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a whole discussion in Yeradei in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim about the nuances, the details of self-tumulatis, because we pass in that it exists. Either Midaraisa, Midaravon, and it for sure exists. So hopefully next week, we'll have to try to work out some of the details. The truth is that most of the Kohanim Shalas that we get are more self-tumulatse Shalas than actual Olamex. Olamex is fairly simple. You just close the door and call it a day. So it's the self-tumulatse that causes trouble in the hospitals, that causes troubles in the nursing homes, causes troubles in the Museum of Natural History, and causes troubles in many, many, many different places where the Kohanim want to go because they're going to bump into potential issues of self-tumulatse, self-tumulatse. So next week we'll talk about that.
The graves in Israel stop the tumah because of the way they're constructed, the boxes that are all over Har Menuchot. Is that created as an ohel?
Is that as
a tombstone? In Israel, it's all.
It's over the entire. Well, according to Rabbi Tam, the matzev itself is mekabel tumah. Oh, itself
isn't there an open space?
I don't remember anymore. I don't remember.
There's no shear for how long the Kohen time is in contact with the mace.
Well, split
it's less than a second. So what's the whole thing? There's a whole issue of if a Kohen is in a house and the person died, quickly tell him to go run out.
He's got to run out. Right.
What does he have to run out? He's already been exposed
for a second. But every second that he continues, that's considered to be a continuation.
But he's coming.
But we assume that even though he's tummy, just the continuation of being tummy is also a problem. He still may have to run out.
But every time he's coming in, we can't go to the cemetery.